You haven't done any interviews over the last few months. What made you want to do one today?
I mean, it's good timing. I'm back in the league, so I feel like it's a good time for me to share not only what I've been doing, but you know what I'm doing to take a step forward and leave all that behind me.
Last Thursday, I sat down with Browns defensive end Myles Garrett in Los Angeles, one day after he was reinstated into the NFL. The interview, which aired on Outside the Lines, was Garrett's first media appearance since he was suspended by the league for swinging a helmet at Steelers quarterback Mason Rudolph. Rudolph initially declined to comment, but after Garrett reaffirmed his claim that the quarterback called him a racial slur, Rudolph replied on Twitter calling the accusation 1,000% false and a bold-faced lie. Today, more from our interview with Garrett, including new details on who he says he told about his allegation that fateful night. Then Adam Schefter joins the show to discuss the Steelers' response and what this means for both players going forward. I'm Mina Kimes. It's Monday, February 17th. This is ESPN Daily, presented by ADT.
Let's go back to November 14th. You guys were up 21-7, just seconds left in the game.
Beating the Steelers for the first time in I don't know how long, and that gets marred by idiotic play by me and a couple other guys on both teams.
And there's a brawl going down inside the 10-yard line. And getting in there was Myles Garrett. And Garrett took the helmet off of Mason Rudolph and flung it. And then David DeCastro and Marquise Pouncey came in, and they started really laying it in. So it was Myles Garrett who took the helmet off of Mason Rudolph and slammed him on the top of the head, Doug.
Oh, boy. Myles is going to get one, too. He's going to be suspended.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Walk me through what happened.
I mean, coming off the edge, there's probably like 10, there's less than 15 seconds left. I remember that. I didn't want to be on the field, but you know, since I was already out there, they were still throwing the ball. Decided I was going to go make a play. So he still had the ball. He's winding back to throw. I'm going, you know, to hit him in the strike zone. No, I'm not trying to do anything illegal. I go to take him down. He says some words as we're going down. And he ends up on top of me, and he goes to, like, you know, twist my helmet off. So I ended up, you know, getting leverage and get on top of him. I grab his helmet, and I start shaking him, push him off me. And as I'm shaking him, you know, his helmet comes off, and his, you know, one of his offensive linemen grabs me. I think it's DeCastro. And he's talking to me, telling me it's cool. You know, just let it go. You know, it's the end of the game. You know, it's all good. And as he's, you know, walking me away on my left side, you know, Mason comes running again. You know, he's yelling. He's already kicked me. He's trying to twist my helmet off. And I made a mistake. I tried to defend myself. But well, at the end of the day, because left the situation entirely.
Well, there was no need for that.
No.
No need for that at all. Wow, you're up by 21-7, and the video that we were watching of Myles Garrett taking the helmet off of Rudolph and then slamming him was pretty bad.
You just described that in great detail. It sounds like something you've thought about a lot.
I had a lot of time to think about it. No, not a time to think about that reaction and what my response should have been, because the response that I should have had and I usually have in that situation just wasn't there. And you know, just recollecting myself and allowing myself to never, you know, be in that situation. But if I am, to handle it better.
What did he say to you?
I mean, he called me the N-word. He called me a stupid N-word. I don't like, I don't say the N-word, whether it's, you know, with A, E-R, to me personally, just shouldn't be said, and whether it's known by family, friends, anyone. And I don't want to use it because I don't want to, you know, find that appropriate around me for anyone to use. So when he said it, you know, it kind of sparked something, but I still tried to let it go and still walk away. Once he came back, it kind of, no, kind of reignited the situation. And you know, not only have you, you know, escalated things, you know, past what it needed to be, you know, with such little time in the game left. You know, you're trying to, you know, re-engage and start a fight again. And, you know, it's definitely not entirely his fault. It's definitely both parties, you know, doing something that we shouldn't have been doing.
So he denied that he said what you're alleging, and then after your initial appeal, it leaked out, and you said, I wish this didn't get out at all. Why was that?
Because I didn't want to try to use it as justification for my actions, because there's nothing to justify. Like, there's nothing that I can say or do to justify what I did on that day. I'm not saying there's nothing to justify it, and I didn't do anything wrong. And I know what happened. I know what I heard. And people say things, you know, when they're heated or they're full of emotion, and, you know, I leave it on the field.
I think you can imagine or know that the racial aspect of this makes it even more polarizing and toxic in some ways.
People didn't really want to acknowledge that because of, you know, how I handled it immediately after, and I didn't say it immediately.
Did Mason say something? Is that what started things?
I just gotta go look at it. No, I'm not gonna comment on it. No.
And I'd been advised against saying anything as well. I'd been told not to reach out to the media and you know, discuss the situation at the time.
Is that why you didn't mention it after the game? Because I think a lot of people, when they heard this allegation, their reaction was, well, why didn't he say that immediately?
I didn't. Oh, because I would have been reaching for justification at the time. Well, he said this, and this is what happened. I wanted to just take it to the NFL. This is what happened, and you know, this is all of what happened, as well as the physical altercation part of it. You know, a couple of days later, not even a couple of days later, I think the next day I've been reached out to by Jay Glazer, and he wanted to do an interview, and he wanted to give my side because I had told the coaches immediately about what happened. I had told Dorsey and I had told Larry, you know, what happened and what was said. So they knew from that night, but I wanted, you know, the media to hear about it, whether it was through Jay Glazer or eventually through, you know, the aftermath of the meeting. But no, it didn't make it through the meeting. It was out before we even, you know, made it out the building.
The league said they didn't find evidence of a racial slur. What was your reaction to that?
Most quarterbacks wear mics in their helmets. He somehow lost his helmet and had to get another one without a mic. There were guys who were mic'd up near me. And near us during that time, who didn't hear anything. And from what I've heard, there have been audio during that game that could have heard something or could not have heard something, but you know, they don't want to say. So something was said. I know something was said. Now, whether the NFL wants to acknowledge it, that's up to them. But I don't want to make it a racial thing, honestly. It's over with for me. And I'm pretty sure it's over with for Mason. So we just want to move past that and keep on playing football.
I think part of the reason there was so much public uproar and backlash wasn't what actually happened, but what could have happened.
Yeah.
Is that something that you think about as well?
Yeah. I mean, it could have been a lot worse. You know, the helmet was turned a different way. If I hit him in any different spot, you know, things could have been a lot worse. But I also think, no, looking at that, it wasn't. You can think about, you know, the hypothetical situation of, you know, what could have happened, but what did happen? You know, everybody walked away, you know, unscathed for the most part, and you know, two men got in a fight over 15 seconds left in the game over some nonsense. 21-7, you know, sealed victory, and should have never gone to that.
Coming up, Garrett responds to accusations that he's a dirty player. Then we dig into the response from Rudolph, Coach Mike Tomlin, and the NFL. The best teams start with great talent, but finding the right people can be a challenge. I mean, just ask the New York Knicks. When it comes to hiring for your business, ZipRecruiter can help you find the right candidates for your team fast. From healthcare to manufacturing to business services and more. And now, You can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 top job sites, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right skills and experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. You can even add screening questions to your job listing so you can filter candidates and focus on the best ones. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, to try ZipRecruiter for free, my listeners can go to ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. That's ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
What were the days like for you afterwards?
Sheltered. I was in my house. I didn't want to leave. Didn't want to go out. Didn't really want to speak to anyone. I knew I'd let down a lot of people, my teammates, my family, my friends. I knew I was just real hard on myself. And there was a lot of mail. And at that time, it was coming straight in. Email, everything was coming straight to the house and straight to my phone. And I could see everything that everybody was saying. And they think we're just football players and we're just people with helmets on. We don't have emotions, but you feel those people telling you that you deserve to die or you deserve to be in prison or you just be alone for the rest of your life. You don't deserve your family, all these things. And hurt to see, but then you realize that you have that family, you have that supporting group that's always there for you. And just relying on them and my friends, and it helped get me back to where I was and get me back on the right track.
How did you feel when you heard people saying he should be arrested or put in jail?
He should be arrested. I wish somebody would hit his kids upside the head with a helmet. I don't even have kids. It was like, sheesh. Why would you wish down anybody? I mean, there were so many things that people wished upon me for one mistake that... plenty of people make mistakes in their lives, but never get called out for it. But mine was public in front of millions of people, and it gives people the idea or the confidence to speak out and say whatever they like over social media. And that's not right. But that's the platform and that's the world we live in.
When was the first time you watched it back?
Watched it back. I think a day before I made my appeal, they asked me to look at it and just, what were you thinking and what happened? But I remember every second of it. I didn't need to watch it again, but they put it before me. They sent it to me again, and I watched it again. I was like, I don't need to see it again. No, that's not me, and that's never going to happen again.
In the immediate aftermath, people pointed out that, you had punched Delanie Walker earlier in the year, had a hit on Trevor Siemian. The words dirty player got thrown around a lot. What would you say to people who call you that?
Man, if you have played the game, or if you have talked to people who have played the game, and I've talked to more than a few who reached out to me after that situation on the 14th, saying that things like that have happened with them, or they're on my side, whether it was former players or current players, and they're just rooting for me. They've never seen me as a dirty player. Guys who have grown up with me, like Mahomes or McCaffrey, speaking out, knowing that, or speaking to me, knowing that this is not who I am. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna bounce back from it. I'm not gonna let these comments and these criticisms define me. And some of those other plays, like the Siemian play, it was a couple years ago. That's a perfectly fine hit. And when I asked the ref, he couldn't give me a clear answer on what I really did wrong. So it was whether it was the timing, he couldn't say. Whether it was where I hit him at the strike zone, he really couldn't say. He just he said you just gotta lower yourself and try to pull off or turn your body. So it's kind of hard knowing what to do as a defensive player nowadays, whether it's a receiver or a quarterback. But no one's in the business just injuring people. No one in football, including me.
How has the city of Cleveland been for you? I mean, just when you weren't playing, but you're leaving the house, going out. What were the fans like?
I kind of had the worst know, thoughts or beliefs of how they were gonna act towards me, but really they had my back everywhere I went. I always had someone, you know, patting me on the back or coming by just to say, you know, we're with you, you know, we appreciate you. You know, after all the negative mail hit, I started to see, you know, positive mail coming through. You know, people, you know, leaving stuff at my door, which kind of surprised me because I kind of live out in the middle of nowhere, so I can, you know, be by myself, have my space, and, you know, people still coming by. I know a family near me they brought some dinosaurs by, some toys, and, you know, had me take a picture with their family and, you know, some of their pets that were also there, and they just, you know, saying that anytime you need anything, if you want a fresh cooked meal, you want some dessert, dinner, whatever you need, and we got you. And so people just in the neighborhood showing their support, as well as, you know, places that I frequented when I ate at or I needed to go, you know, shop. I got more comfortable seeing that more people were just appreciating me for the person and the player I am.
The Browns' Myles Garrett met with NFL representatives this morning in New York, and that includes the commissioner, Roger Goodell, about reinstatement from his indefinite suspension. There is no time.
You had a meeting in New York on Monday. What happened?
What happened? I went into the Don's office. I come in. He's like, no, don't sit there. I don't like sitting behind the desk. That's too serious. So we're sitting in front of his coffee table, and we're just, you know, chatting it up. He was like, so what did you learn? And, you know, what have you been doing to, you know, just get away from the game? And have you been spending time with your family? You know, what does Miles do to separate himself from the game? So, you know, told him that. Just talked a little bit. He said, would you like to speak to any of the Steelers players? And if you would, like, would you like to, you know, would you like me to help you connect you with them? I was like, well, I don't know if they want to talk to me, but I'd like to talk to them, that everybody was involved. Because, you know, to me, it stays in the game, and I have no bad blood against anybody.
So players, including Mason Rudolph?
Rudolph, Pouncey.
Yeah.
Everybody was involved.
Is that going to happen?
I'm going to try to make it happen. You know, whether they want to talk or not, that's completely up to them. They're grown men, but I don't have any, you know, ill intent against any of them.
What would you say to Mason Rudolph?
What I say? I mean, I apologize. You know, there's no need for that kind of violence. You know, that was outside of the game of football, and it was idiotic, foolish, but you know, it was childish on both parts, but it was childish of me, and I apologize for, you know, attempting to injure him, because, you know, I would never, in my right mind, ever try to do something like that. And hope he's well, hope he's been surrounded by his family, and hope his support group has been with him, you know, through his time in off season, through the rest of the year.
What do you want people to think when they hear your name?
It's bigger than football. You know, he's not just a football player. He's not just one day of his life. And once football's over, or even before football's over, he did more than what he did on that football field. Each and every time he went on it, not just November 14th.
Coming up, NFL insider Adam Schefter discusses the responses from the Steelers and the Browns and walks us through how the NFL has handled Garrett's claims. Now you can win a $250,000 home renovation designed by the Scott Brothers in an ADT smart home security system. To enter, just head to ADT.com/pass the protection. And tell us what you want to protect. A beautiful home is great, but a safer home is even better. Now is your opportunity to get both. The winner and the winner's home will be featured in an ADT video with the Scott Brothers. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Ends March 16th. Must be 18 or over and a homeowner as of February 1st, 2020. To learn more about the contest and read the official rules, go to ADT.com/pass the protection.
Hey, Adam, thank you so much.
Sure, no problem.
Adam Schefter is an NFL insider at ESPN. Before the first clip of the interview aired on Thursday, we reached out to Mason Rudolph's representation. They didn't make him available. How have they responded since the broadcast?
Well, I think they've been very aggressive in their comments, as you've seen. I think that Tim Younger, the agent attorney representative for Mason Rudolph, has been very upset by this whole thing. And he has been upset by this whole thing, really, ever since this storyline was handed down, because I just go back to when the accusation first came out, in which Mason Rudolph was accused of hurling a racial epithet at Myles Garrett. At that point in time, Tim Younger was furious. I'm just telling you, he was furious. And so all that really happened is, you know, a scab built up over that time. And then over the weekend, the scab was picked back off again.
And it wasn't just Mason Rudolph, also Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, Mike Tomlin, who really ordinarily doesn't come out and speak this time of the year, is rarely heard from in February, never heard from in February publicly, came out and defended his quarterback. I noticed that you had other Steelers favoriting and retweeting the tweet of Tim Younger, of Mason Rudolph, of Mike Tomlin, the statement when the Steelers released it.
Have we learned anything about the actual details of what happened?
Well, it's hard, right? Because you've got Miles' version and you've got Mason's version. And as we know with the NFL, the audio goes off once the play starts. And again, the NFL weighed in as well right after your interview aired. Brian McCarthy, the NFL spokesman, texted me at that point in time, and I could read it sound for sound. He says, for the people that don't know regarding Myles Garrett repeating the allegation and saying there's audio, This is the words of the NFL. Quote, as we said at the time the allegation was made, we looked into the matter and found no such evidence. There was no sound recorded from the field during that game. As with every game, there were microphones on the center or interior linemen that help amplify the ambient sound as the quarterbacks were calling signals at the line of scrimmage, but they do not record sound. Microphones are opened from the break of the huddle or when the center places his hand on the ball in a no-huddle offense through the snap of the ball. So, I don't know what we're going to learn. Like, what are we going to learn? We're not going to learn anything. We're going to learn Myles Garrett believes that Mason Rudolph said that. Mason Rudolph says he doesn't. He didn't say that. Mason Rudolph's attorney may go ahead and seek legal action, sue Myles Garrett for what he believes to be defamatory statements.
The NFL said their investigation, as you pointed out, was not based on audio because there was no audio, right? And Myles Garrett said he questioned that. The NFL responded with an explanation. They said, we relied on the accounts of nearby players, officials, and then the people involved. Having seen the incident, do you think it's plausible that nobody heard?
I would guess it would be, yeah. I think it's possible. It's possible that nobody heard. Like, they're right there. It's hard to imagine that you would think that somebody right in that vicinity would have heard, right? But, I don't know what it's like to be in alignment in the trenches where you're focused on your own battle. Like, you're worrying about your battle. You'd have to be specifically listening and know it's coming. That's not happening.
I think the biggest question a lot of people had, something I asked him a couple times, is if you heard something, if this happened, why didn't you say so the night of the incident? In his interview with me, he said he told his teammate Larry Ogunjobi and the Browns' former GM, John Dorsey, about what he says happened. Has that been corroborated?
Well, I've spoken to some Cleveland people in the past, you know, when the story first unfolded, and they believed Miles' claim for whatever that's worth. You know, okay, so great. So we've got some Browns people who believe his claim, and we've got Steelers people who don't. So again, you know, nothing's different. You know, nothing's different. And unless some kind of smoking gun turns up, and I don't know how that is, right? I guess you'd need a player to come forward and say, I heard Mason Rudolph say that. I mean, it's easy for the Steelers guys to say, I didn't hear him say that, right? Like, they're doing their jobs. But I think we would have known that by now, and nobody's done that. So, there were Browns people that believed then. Does that change your view of who's right and who's wrong here? I don't think it does. Listening to Miles, and I listened to Miles when he spoke to you, he sounded very convincing. And then Mason came out and made the statement he did, which is very convincing, right? So, like, you got two guys making convincing statements in their own ways. somebody is lying in a disgraceful, despicable way. I don't know who that is.
I'm Mina Kimes, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.